I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome to another episode of Rival Scott Mitchell, Jason Buck. It's that time of year that we all live for and we all mourn when it's over. That's the NFL playoffs. It's, of course, in full swing. Wild Card Weekend was kind of interesting. Some six seeds won, which was you saw Drew Brees at home lose and you saw Tom Brady at home lose.
I know.
So there were some shocks. But
crazy stuff. But that's what's so awesome about it, you know. I mean, you don't know, and you got to come ready to play in the playoffs. I'm like you though. When you and your opening is like the playoffs start. It's my favorite time of the year, absolutely. And it's funny that opening round, I start getting anxiety that football season's going to be over. It really starts. Honestly,
no, I know.
And, I start
and really
about it.
It's good all year, and it's good because every game matters. But the playoffs are just great.
Oh,
the NFL, I think, has the best playoff system of all sports. Yeah. All right, so we're going to do a little kind of a prediction thing here about the remaining teams in the playoffs. And so wanted to get your take. So we're going to talk about the games this week and the championship games, and then who's going to play in the Super Bowl and who wins the Super Bowl.
Oh,
you down with that?
Pick it all. Yeah, I'm all good right. with that.
Okay, so let's start. Tennessee Titans are playing the – who are they playing?
Baltimore.
They're playing the Ravens.
Yep.
I knew that.
Yep.
I just had a brain cramp.
No, that's all right.
So who's going to win
that
game?
You and I can always fall back on CTE.
Well, I can't because they actually examined me and found out my brain was normal.
Oh, that's so full of crap, the whole concussion settlement thing. If people saw what they really did to test us, but that's another show.
Right. So Titans and the Ravens. Who you got?
The Ravens. I mean, absolutely. I mean, they're playing hot right now, and they got them at home.
You sounded so, I don't know, boring about that answer. Well, the Ravens.
Oh, no, that's not boring.
The Ravens, they're not the 1991 Washington Redskins, but they'll kind of do for right now.
Well, that's true, but I didn't bring it up because, you know, the glory days, and people are like, oh, yeah, got to hear, you know, the glory days.
So I agree with you. Here's the thing. It was fun to watch Mike Vrabel actually out Belichick in the playoffs, beating the Patriots at home.
That's so
and just some of the little things he did, managing the 5-minute part of the game and watching Belichick blow a cork on it.
But he's a Belichick guy, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
he learned from the best. Belichick should actually smile in that moment, tip his cap and say I've taught you well.
Yeah.
Yes.
And my system's still going, right?
Grasshopper, I mean, you can now pull the pebble from my hand. I just think the emotion of that win for Tennessee, I think it's almost the high water mark for them. It's like, look, we beat the Patriots in the playoffs. It's been a great year.
Yeah.
I think it's a hard thing seeing them win. I mean,
and you know, but being a great team with momentum and a great coach like Harbaugh, you know, I just don't see them not being prepared, right? And being that number one seed, it is so rare for them to flop and lose at home, you know, on that divisional round.
Yeah.
I mean, they're sitting in a great spot. I think Baltimore definitely will have this.
It'll be, to me, I think the most interesting thing about all of the playoffs is, will these quarterbacks that have done very well, like Lamar Jackson, is he ready to handle the pressure of the playoffs? We're going to talk about what the playoffs really are like in our next segment, but let's move on. All right, so the Houston Texans had a come from behind win against the Buffalo Bills, who I think are kind of one of those upstart teams.
Yeah,
they go to Kansas City and play the Chiefs.
No, Kansas City, all the way. I think Andy Reid's got them playing really good. Their defense is not as good as Houston's, but their offense is so powerful. And I watched the Houston Buffalo game, and they're solid, but I still don't think they're in Kansas City's league right now. This is Andy Reid's year.
You know, the Texans have been a team that just haven't been able to get out of the first round, and now that they did, Kansas City is notoriously bad in the playoffs, and
yeah,
I could totally
they have been.
If there was an upset, I would say this would be the biggest. I would say this would be an upset win for the Texans.
Okay.
I could see that happening.
You know what?
I'm going to pick that happening.
I would agree that is out of the, in the divisional round, this is probably the one that would be the most likely to have an upset. I would agree with that. The chances.
Deshaun Watson, quarterback for the Texans, has just figured out kind of, I'm going to put my team on my shoulders kind of thing. Saw that when he was at Clemson winning a national championship. You've seen him show up in big games, and they got over the hump. You know, there's just something about getting over the hump, and they were at home. And the fact that if you're a wild card at home, it's easier to travel. Now, the travel to Kansas City is not going to be bad for them. Some of these other teams that have traveled long distances,
it's going to be
a challenge actually for them. So
that's true. It's a short trip. That's part. Yeah. But, man, you're going to be in front of a wild home Kansas City
crowd.
Yeah,
but it's always
wild.
They never win in the playoffs. I'm just telling
you. Don't you love that environment?
Okay, so.
Gosh. But I'm still going to Kansas City. There is the chance for the upset there, and I would give that the highest chance. But, man, Mahomes and their offense and just it'll probably be a little higher scoring game because of Kansas City's defense. But I think Kansas City still gets this one. It's the AFC Championship game that, like you said, they've never gotten through that.
All right, so Lamar, so you have the Chiefs and the Ravens.
Yeah.
Who's going to win the AFC then? The championship game, who wins that? Is it going to be the Ravens or is it going to be the Chiefs?
Do I have to give my
you don't have to give a
intellectual
score.
Choice or my emotional choice?
I don't care. I didn't know you were an intellectual. Just give me your emotional.
You
I prefer your emotion.
You dog.
Well, I want the emotion.
I'm going emotion because you know what? I'm a loyal, emotional guy, and I know Andy Reid, and he's always been a good friend to me. So I'm going with Andy Reid and the Kansas City Chiefs. He's got to get in there before one more Super Bowl in before he retires from the game.
Okay, I'm going to be intellectual, and I'm going to say the Ravens.
Oh, sure.
Well, it'll be at home, and they're really good.
They are, dude. They are really
okay,
good.
Okay, so you have
Kansas
you,
City's from, definitely the underdog in that game.
From the AFC, you have the Chiefs, and I have
Chiefs
the Ravens in the
it.
Super Bowl. All right, let's go to the NFC. So the Vikings go to the 49ers.
Yes, and I'm an emotional guy. Okay. So I'm staying with the emotion. You go ahead and stay with the false, pseudo-intellectualism, and I'm going to go emotional.
Okay.
Because I grew up a huge Fran Tarkington, purple people eater fan. And I really like Minnesota's defense, and I think they got the momentum. So I'm going Minnesota for the upset.
I really like the Vikings, actually, and I picked them too.
What?
I totally picked the Vikings. And
I thought you were totally going to go against me on that one.
No, not at all. I'm not totally convinced of the 49ers. Not sure they're ready to compete on that big stage. And the Vikings like the defense, but Kirk Cousins
love
got that like snide off of his back, winning his first playoff game. And I think that's huge. I think it really, from a psychological standpoint, actually goes a long way. And they have a style. They have a style. I think that could send them to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I did too. I got
great
a
defense.
Tied to Cousins. I was out coaching at the Redskins when he, beat out RG3 in that camp. And, me and, the other intern coach I was with that we both played, at the Redskins, another DN, Woods, Tony Woods. We were both like, first day of practice, we're like, Cousins the guy. You spot it in a second. So it's fun to see that you're right and watch his career advance and go on and
they got a great running back and they've got some weapons down the field. The wide receiver Diggs and Thiessen are good. So
when you have a defense like that, I love their 4-3 base defense. I'm a fan of it and I like how they get after it and their style, how they're playing. And that defense, when you get into the playoffs, because I've been to that Super Bowl twice, it's that defense is what puts it over the edge to go all the way.
The Seattle Seahawks and the Green Bay Packers. It's at Green Bay.
Green Bay Packers. They got the maturity. Roger. Well, Seattle has maturity too, so I can't, you know, take that away from them. But, you know, I like Rodgers at home in that cold Green Bay, and they got to go from the Seattle, you know,
comfort zone. Well, Seattle gets cold too, but it's not like Green Bay cold.
In a quarterback kind of, you know, way, it gets cold.
If I was going to pick
a lock, a game type of way,
if I was going to pick a lock, a game I thought would absolutely be guaranteed win, it's the Packers beating the Seahawks. And for two simple reasons.
Yeah, I think Packers.
Seattle had to travel all the way across the country.
All the way.
Play the Eagles.
Yep.
They had to go home, and then they travel kind of halfway across the country again.
Those are two tough trips on
the plane. Two long road trips. It's almost a guarantee most teams – it's a guarantee teams don't win when they have that travel schedule, and the Seahawks are depleted. So the travel schedule, the fact that they're depleted, you can almost guarantee. Yeah. I'm just telling you, if there's ever a guarantee on a win, it's the Packers are going to win.
For all of our listeners, though, it's just a technical fact in there that I think they would like being, you know, way into the game, is that we were always taught when I was in the NFL by our trainers that a coast-to-coast flight would dehydrate you 2 quarts of water.
Yeah.
Right? So there's a big dehydration factor
right.
in flying coast to coast, or, you know, obviously a little less to Green Bay. But, you know, you do that 2 weeks in a row where you're losing that on both ends of the trip,
right?
Going and coming.
Right.
And you're trying to rehydrate and practice and play and do all this. I mean, there's a
science to this and recover. Yeah.
It's a real physical thing, not just mental.
Almost 100% guaranteed toast.
Yeah.
If you have to travel like that.
I would be shocked to see an upset there. Yeah. I think Green Bay.
All right, so now we have the Vikings and the Packers for the NFC. Who wins that?
What an awesome NFC championship game, huh?
Two NFC North teams
and the great rivalry between the Vikings and Green Bay that goes back eons.
Right.
I mean, to the beginning of the NFL, that is an awesome one. I'm going with Vikings. I'm just going Vikings because Cousins.
Because you're emotional.
I've loved the Vikings since I was a little kid in Michigan.
You're emotional. That's all it is.
And they're Viking. I'm a Viking.
Right. You're emotional.
I came from Sweden and Denmark and all that stuff. I'm emotional. Defensive players are emotional. Yes.
So I'm going to have the Packers. And I think the Packers, you look at all the quarterbacks that are left in the playoffs, the most experience is Aaron Rodgers. This team's playing very well. They've won a lot of big games this year. And they, of course, the second best record in all of the NFL. And I just really, really like the Packers at home. And so
I agree with Rodgers.
They're kind of under the radar.
I agree with Rodgers being the better quarterback, you know, in this situation. Cousins being very good and maturing well, but Rodgers definitely better. But I'm going to go with the purple people eater. Type defense. It's going to block your quarterback's brains out
Super Bowl.
In the NFC Championship. You're going to see your quarterback on his back, and it's over.
Super Bowl.
Listen to him just like keep going past me.
Yeah.
All right. Super Bowl.
Jason, there's no such thing as emotion in NFL football anymore.
Oh, no.
Come on. It's flag football. I don't know why you're so excited.
They're all in their five-star hotels and, you know, laying back.
So you have the Vikings and the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. Interesting picks. Everyone in America would hate that. But
they would hate that.
They would. So who wins?
Because I'm just like who wins your
Norse mythology genealogy or your love for Andy Reid?
Thor, Odin. Do you know I did my genealogy and I descend from Ragnar Lothbrok direct. Is that crazy?
Yeah.
So,
and the apple did not fall far from the tree. Yes. I totally see it.
It is true.
Yeah.
But I'm going with my buddy Andy Reid in the Super Bowl.
Oh. Going against the old
That's a tough one because, you know, Minnesota's defense.
So blood is not thicker than water in this situation.
Because that's my childhood team.
All right, so you have the Chiefs winning the Super Bowl.
You know, I'm going with Andy and his offense, but man, that Viking defense could shut him down. Could really give him that, get the pressure on Mahomes. But I'm gonna go with Andy. I'm gonna go with Kansas City in the end.
All right, I have Baltimore and Green Bay in the Super Bowl, and I'm actually picking the Packers. I'm not convinced yet that Lamar Jackson is really ready for the primetime stage all the way to the Super Bowl. I think he's incredible. I don't know. And to me, like I said before,
I think it's a great matchup, though. I mean, that's that Baltimore Green Bay is a great matchup in a Super Bowl.
The Ravens and Lamar Jackson, to me, that's the story of the playoffs. Is he ready to be that elite player? Is he ready to be the face of the NFL? And this playoffs will determine whether he is. All right, we're going to come back. Going to take a break here, but when we do, old Jason's going to tell us what the playoffs are like, because Madison, for some reason, our producer, thinks that he knows something about it a whole lot more than me. And by the way, yes, it did hurt my feelings.
Well, it did. Yeah. Scott's been a little butthurt.
And you just kind of like it, don't you, Jason? He's like, that's right.
I wasn't laughing.
I have more experience than you. All right, taking a break. We'll be back. All right, welcome back.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Rival Scott Mitchell, Jason Buck, had our predictions, and they were different. Jason was intellectual and emotional, all wrapped up in one, which is kind of how Jason is. So, yes, he's an emotional intellectual.
You're like ultra loyal, so I'll loyal to a fault. Yeah. I'll go down with the sinking ship.
Yeah, we'll have to make our Utah BYU bets later on, too.
I'm not getting that hair ripped off my chest again, man.
All right,
you gotta give me some points next year, dude.
So we agree that the NFL playoffs are just the best part of the year.
Oh, gosh.
And you've been able to do something not many people have the privilege. And it really is a rare privilege. And I believe you appreciate it. And I appreciate it. And we joke a lot about the fact that you have a Super Bowl ring and I don't. And behind all of that joking, there is some seriousness to it. And there is some – you know, because I would have loved to have been in and played a Super Bowl and unfortunately wasn't able to. So you were with the Redskins, and so this would have been the week you would have played. You had the bye week off, right? The first round of the playoffs. Yep. Was that a valuable thing? Was it a distraction? Maybe when is it a good thing and when could it be a bad thing?
You know, a bad thing, absolutely. If players don't keep their heads on straight and they get caught up in the hype and aren't focused up. You know, Weiss did a really good job on it. My first time, to the Super Bowl
with the Bengals.
He did a solid job on it, honestly, keeping us focused.
So what do? Do you just go through a normal week of practice and you just kind of grind it out, and then do they take days off like a typical bye week?
They kept it really the same.
The same pattern. Yeah.
Yeah. Gibbs especially is just like exact same pattern. I mean, we were backing off at that point of the year. We weren't smash mouthing as hard.
Right.
You know, as with Joe, like we did, earlier in the year. So we were backing off the pounding, but it was still the same practice format and, keeping, because we really believed in keeping that rhythm, right? And playing speed, just the timing. Yeah. You know, the receivers and quarterback had to have those routes right. And so it was, that kind of stuff was full speed, just no contact, right?
Yeah. That's an interesting insight. I've never really asked anyone about that, and I just wondered
timing.
And so, because you see some teams, they come out and they're just on fire, and you can see that the physical break. I guess that was my other question: was having that kind of that week to recover. Was there a lot of value in that, or was it minimal, or what was it?
No, I thought there was so much value in having that week off. Yeah, I think the coaches had more time to prepare, right, for the divisional round.
So you're going to have a really good game plan.
Going to have a better game plan. And, man, physically, talking about fresh legs, right? That extra week to recover from the hits and the blows of the other game was huge. I just thought you had so much more, you call it fresh legs, but scientifically, right, the load of that, the nutrients and everything in your muscles, you're just on fire. It's a huge advantage.
How will that play out? So you get to the championship game, right? And I remember being in a championship game with the Miami Dolphins, and we were like, we were sure we were going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
the game was at home, Buffalo. We played Buffalo, who hadn't really played all that well in the playoffs.
Yeah,
and we just said, this is
that's your year.
This was going to be amazing.
And I would have bet on you too, because you had the momentum and at home. guy, you just don't lose that championship game at home.
And
rarely.
we had played so good up to that point. Like, we were really just the rhythm of where we are was we were just really in sync.
Yeah.
And then we had it was like everyone tried too hard. You could see
tight.
It was everyone was just going.
I can see
almost
that.
You know, and watching Marino make some throws and decisions, you're like, he doesn't, you know,
normally does that.
It just, you know, wasn't the same thing.
And you know, if you played that game, played them over again at home, you'd beat them 8 out of 10 times, right?
Right, completely.
You know, just absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, that was like my Super Bowl 23. I'm like, if we play the Niners, we beat them 8 out of 10 times. We are the better team. I mean, but they knocked, you know, they got it, right? And you're right.
How much, like, you go into a championship week like that, and what prevents you from like doing like playing too hard? As crazy as that sounds.
Yeah, as crazy as it sounds. And I think that impacts offensive players worse than defensive players, right? I mean, it does the defensive player, but the defensive players play on such a high peak emotion, right? You know, that's why they get the offense stays on the field longer. You always watch the defense get tired, right? And the offense doesn't. I mean, it's just that principle. So I think, you know, I think experience, no question. A team that has been, when you load up with players that have been to the playoffs multiple times, to the champions, you know, conference championship games, to the Super Bowl, those teams absolutely have an advantage. And that's one of the things right there that you touched upon is they're not tight. They know how to handle that game. And I'll tell you, Joe Gibbs, dude, if you watch how he loaded up the team, we'd have 2 or 3 or 4 rookies make the team every year. And he brought in veteran journeymen. Guys have been – that's when they brought me in. I'm a guy that had already been to a Super Bowl. They pick me up when I leave, you know, Cincinnati, and I'm – he's just got another Super Bowl guy.
Right.
Right, that knows how to go in through the playoffs and play in a Super Bowl. And that's honestly what Gibbs would do all the time. And that maturity would show up in a game like that because you've been there. And it does help. And if you have guys that haven't been there –
Is it a different game?
You think in the NFC Championship or AFC Championship?
Yeah. Is it a different game, or is it just like, do you get on the field and you just go, okay, this is a regular game, or do you go, man, this is like
– it's a whole nother level,
it's a whole different deal.
It's a whole different deal because it's like nobody's saving themselves for the next game.
Yeah.
Now, I played every game like in my mind.
Right.
I was in
like it was
Super Bowl.
The last game.
Yeah, like it was the last game. That's just the way I played. But you know there's guys that don't. And you can just see – The it just ramps up for the divisional game, and then it ramps up another level for the conference championship game, and then another level for the Super Bowl. And there's no doubt that it just keeps going up. I played better, honestly.
In
that situation, feeding on the energy of it. But you know what? Another reason I've played better for me, because I just didn't have a coach that let me go like my college coach did, where they just – the coach is just mother effing me all day, and if you step wrong, I see you in the game.
Right.
I'll pull you out in the middle of the game, stupid mother effer buck, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And so you're always like, you got the guy in the eye in the sky and the coach watching over you during the game, and you're a little tighter. And the playoffs came around, you're like, we lose, we go home. You know, you're not listening to the coach on Monday. If you win, you're the champion. You're going for the next week. And I played awesome under that. My best games were always playoff games, the Super Bowl, because I didn't have that, you know, big weight on my shoulders of a bad coach screaming over the top of me. You let it all go.
All right, so you get to the Super Bowl. Like, how many plays, how long into the game before you're actually, like, I mean, you got to be floating. You got to just be.
Totally floating. Before you settle down?
Yeah.
Definitely first series. You're done with the butterflies a little bit. You know, you're still riding high on the adrenaline the entire game like you just never felt before. It's all the way to the end. But I think just to get the butterflies out and the jitters, if you will, that first concussive hit where you just smack face to face and it's wham.
Yeah.
That pretty much is
kind of gets it over.
It gets it over, that first big smash.
How hard is it that week when you're actually at a location? You know that it's like, okay, this is the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's nuts.
And how hard is that to maintain your focus? Is it easy to get distracted? Because you saw the distraction when you were in Cincinnati, and I have to believe it was probably different when you were in Washington.
Yeah, it was.
And why was it different?
You know, You're exactly right. The ramp up to the AFC-NFC championship game is huge, right? The media attention. And you could get distracted in that, but you got to like 10 times it, 50 times it or whatever on the Super Bowl week, right? It just gets even that much worse. World media
starts showing
up.
Well, and it's been 2 weeks, too. So
and it's 2 weeks.
It's a two-week buildup.
And you got dude, you got family. You got like fourth cousins calling you, asking for tickets to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I mean, people you haven't seen in a reunion since you were 3 years old.
Right.
I mean, honestly, I mean, that's just the kind of stuff that's going on.
How many tickets did you get?
It's funny. The Bengals, we got 16 tickets.
For free.
For free.
Okay.
And guess how many the Niners got? This is classic.
Like 40.
Like 24.
24.
But we got 16. And everybody knows it, right? You're just like, we're the Bengals. We get 16. Wow. Niners, they get treated better. They get 24.
And everyone probably got 24, and the Bengals probably kept the extra ones and sold them.
You don't know. It's exactly what they did. Yeah. There's a guy down at the hotel with a big thing of cash that would buy the extra tickets and a suitcase full of cash. And everybody is laughing because they came to practice saying the Mike Brown's assistant was down there selling tickets to this guy.
I'm sure.
I'm telling you, the owner, the team's owner.
I have no doubt about it.
His assistant was down there in the hotel getting cash for his tickets. So
they screwed
the players.
What was different between Cincinnati and Washington? Was it the coach? Was it was it the players internally? Was
Both.
It the experience of everything? And they just said, you know, because the Buffalo Bills said, you know, if we'd kind of taken it halfway serious, we would have actually – We would have probably won a couple of those Super Bowls.
I played Buffalo, so I can give, you know, with the Redskins, so I can give you an exact characterization of the Buffalo team versus us. Cincinnati, I'll say this. Dude, I had most of the players on the team, most, handled the pressure very well at Cincinnati, kept their focus on the game. We'd do little things like, you know, go on a little golfing session, just the guys, maybe, you know, we just go. And we'd have dinner with our family at night, you know, all the family coming in out of town. We'd have one. That's all I allowed, really. I'd see my mom and dad and all relatives that came into town. I'd like, we're going to have a dinner, and then you guys go off and have your fun. I wouldn't participate in that at all. I'd go back to the hotel and focus on the game, honestly.
Yeah.
And our day activities were kind of limited. I just kept myself channeled, and I know most of the guys did. And there's a few guys that couldn't handle it and partied, and thus the Stanley Wilson thing. You know, and a few other guys that.
Well, you got to be in meetings. It's like a regular work week, I would imagine.
Yeah, we had a pretty regular work week, and we practiced at your crappy Miami Dolphins facilities.
Well, those fields were
some of the worst.
Yeah, the field was amazing, but
the field was amazing.
The facilities were.
The facility, that weight room you had, you know, with the steel cage around it, on the outside, it was a joke.
It wasn't. It was like chain link fence.
Chain link fence. But Spinney Field was just as bad,
roof.
Right, or worse.
Yeah.
We both had that experience. Yeah. Spinney Field just sucked and even stunk. Yeah. We were like in a chemical depot.
Right.
But
which could explain some things about you.
With me, we'd all
sucking
we'd all
in Spinney Field chemicals.
We all thought we were going to get ALS or something.
Jason's a mutant.
Oh, you see all the 50 gallon drums stacked four stories high to the side of the field there. It looked like it was just a big chemical waste dump down there. But
crazy place.
Crazy place. But anyways,
interesting. The whole buildup and
build
the playoffs.
You've got to have control of it, right?
Yeah.
You've got to have control of it. And we had the drug OD the night before the game, and you know, and I think there was a. I know there was a few other players involved in it that didn't get caught up in it, but I think they were in there partying with Stanley. He wasn't there by himself doing it. So we had a few starters on the team that were on cocaine the night before the game that went into the game and probably didn't play their 100% best.
And people talk about the pressure of that. It affects people in different ways.
It affects them in different ways.
Some people kind of go off the rails just to cope with it because it's such a dramatic –
Yeah.
An emotional thing and figuring out how to
You're
deal
exactly
with it.
You're exactly right. And most of us channeled in, right?
Yeah.
And a handful of guys didn't. And then, but put it this, Joe Gibbs was so strict about character. And he told me when he brought me in, he goes, Jason, I will go with a player with character any day over just an athlete.
Yeah.
I will win more championships with players with character than I will with just great athletes.
Yeah. I believe that too.
And so we
I
filled
really
up
do.
The team with that,
right?
And so I don't. On that hand, where the Bengals were more lax in that, and we had a handful of more crazy guys. We didn't. We had very little of that.
Did he say with character or a character? Because I'm thinking of John Riggins as a character.
He was a character.
They had a lot of characters.
I'm just saying
team.
We had far fewer.
Right.
We had a couple of guys with Joe that he would take on, and Dexter Manley was one.
Right.
That was a character.
Yep.
And Joe kind of would have a big heart and love on this guy and try to take him along. But I tell you, you didn't have very many on the team, man. Yeah, not very many. So we get there, and Joe's like, same schedule. You take care of business. And we were in Minnesota, which sucked.
Right.
Right. I mean, sorry, Minnesota. I mean, I love you. But
no, you don't. It's,
for the Super
it's
Bowl,
awful.
We'd rather be in a tropical location.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
Not
in
the
that.
Ice sculptures. But, you know, we took care of business, man. I'm telling you, you had a mature team. The majority of the team had been – a bunch of them had been to multiple Super Bowls, right? The Hogs and guys had just been around – older guys, journeyman guys. We'd all been to Super Bowls. We'd all – and it was just like, take care of business. So we'd go to places, and the feedback we'd get from all the restaurants or Zuba's company, you know, where we'd make these appearances or whatever, they'd be like, man, you guys are so much classier than the Bills. You're so much more appreciative and full of gratitude and more humble and – you know, more respectful. And you'd get these comments all week long, you know, and Joe would talk to us about it, about taking care of business and being true champions. And the Bills were more characters, if you will.
Yep. Character versus characters.
Yes. Character versus characters. And you'd get that feedback all week long. And then all of a sudden you got, you know, Thurman Thomas at the start of our game, they couldn't find his helmet to come out on the field, you know, different stuff like that. They're showboating a lot all week, you know, a lot of attention stuff. And, hey, Redskins, just take care of business, buddy. And we were ready. I mean, it was
Joe
Gibbs.
Character, character over characters wins you Super Bowls any day of the week.
Any day of the week.
All right. I'm going to say this round of rivals is over. He's Jason Buck. I'm Scott Mitchell. We're powered by KSLSports.com. You can find us on Facebook at The Rivals Podcast, Twitter at The Rivals Show. Until then, please, whatever you do, drive sensibly and don't act like Jason.
Don't be afraid.